back, ladies and gentlemen. Trio Mix Podcast, episode 42. 42. Yeah, we're creeping up on that half a hundred here.
Half a hundred. I like that.
Anyway, we'll maybe figure something special out to do for 50, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. But
as far as tonight's goes, it's going to be a good one, I think. So there's a pastor by the name of Greg Locke, or Locke, I don't know how to pronounce it. I've never heard it actually pronounced. So I just kind of looked up some background on the guy just to have that. He's the founder and lead pastor of Global Vision Bible Church in Mount Juliet, Tennessee. And that is pretty much all the factual information I found on him. Everything else is like extremely opinionated information. Because the Global Vision Bible Church is very well known for being very pro-Trump, very right-wing, very kind of COVID naysayers, like it's all fake and stuff like that. So there's a bunch of that kind of stuff that I found, but I mean, that's really neither here nor there as far as what we're talking about tonight. But I will say this for him. If you've ever listened to any of his sermons, he is a very dynamic speaker. Meaning that he gets really, really fired up. Like, he gets, like, Southern Baptist, like, the sound guy is standing there on the gain going, okay, he's getting fired up. We got to turn his gain down because he's going to start screaming here in a minute.
Huh. Yeah, I haven't heard him preach. I've heard him speak because I watched that video the other night.
Mm-hmm.
Of him, and my wife and I watched it together. She used the word charismatic, very charismatic.
Yes.
And which is it's kind of like to me, when someone says they're very charismatic, I'm like, put the brakes on, you know.
Yes.
Let's do a double check on this.
Yeah, that's so, definitely red flags there. Somebody's,
yeah, that's the word, yeah, red flags. Yeah.
So I don't know how many people that listened to this have heard of this or not. If you've spent any amount of time on Facebook and are and Facebook's algorithms even slightly in the slightest little bit show you right-wing Christian content, you have seen where this guy had what he called a burning service. And when I first heard this, I thought, you know, that's not a bad idea. You know, that's kind of cool. But then after I had a chance to kind of stew on it and think about it a little bit, I don't know if I'm totally on board with what he's doing or not yet. So I have some quotes from the sermon just before he had the burning service, when he told his congregation that they were having this burning service. Excuse me. So he said, We are exposing the kingdom of darkness for what it is. It's time for people to be delivered. And then I had another that I took a screenshot of because it was too long to run write down. So bear with me. There you are. Okay. So that was kind of the in the middle of him announcing this event, so to speak. But he, this is how he ended this statement. He said, "We will not tolerate witchcraft." Man, I can't talk tonight. "And we will not be compromising with devil worshippers. Everyone is welcome, but this is global vision, and we do not, and we don't do things like the church down the road or the one you grew up in. We can't unsee the miracles that are happening around us. It's time to break covenant with the devil and grow in the Lord." And then he says, "Get there early, it's going to be amazing." So basically, what he was calling for was everybody to bring anything that that could be deemed a cult. So he asked for people to bring Harry Potter books, to now of course I'm drawing a blank now that we're actually in the middle of this here. Harry Potter books, Ouija boards,
I think that Twilight series was mentioned.
Twilight, yes, that was a big one. Yep. I think those were the three big ones that he mentioned actually in when he announced it.
Sure.
And my question is, by the one the question that I came to after sitting and kind of thinking about this and was what's the end game? You know, what does he want to accomplish by doing this? You know, is it just merely the fact of destroying things that he sees as being a cult? Or is this some sort of like reach out type of thing that he's trying to reach people? And I have yet to find anything that can give me a decent answer to that as to what they would love to what they would want to accomplish through this. And that's where I would be able to decide one way or the other. You know, if all they wanted to do was just burn, you know, burn something that contains what appears to be witchcraft, which, by the way, it could be literally anything.
Oh, absolutely.
And when I say anything, I mean, what was that Disney movie, The Sword and the Stone? That was that Merlin was in there. He's a wizard. That's technically witchcraft. Literally anything, but
I think you can literally take any Disney movie and there's some form of witchcraft in it.
yes, absolutely,
I
absolutely.
mean, I mean, so I mean, you gotta, yeah, so I'm just, I mean, I'm not gonna go down that road, but with Disney movies, but my thought was, the first thing, so when my wife brought this to my attention, and she, I, and then I watched the video, and then read a couple things, and I'm like, my first thought was, what, not only is his, what is his end game like yours, I thought, but I'm like, my very first thought and the very first words out of my mouth were, why stir the pot? Why is he so bent on stirring up the big pot of hell to, I mean, what is the point of that? You know what I'm saying?
Yep, I do.
What, I mean, why, not that you shouldn't make people aware of what's going on,
Yes.
but like, what is the, what are you accomplishing by just making it, I think, I think he even said this, like making the devil mad or, you know, riling him up. I'm like, what is the point of that?
Right.
And then my other question was, and it's, and I think this could completely backfire him. Like, so he burned all these books and he named them by name, or they're, it's there. You can read it, what they burned. And is that not just going to go, could that backfire? And like people like, oh, he's burning that stuff. So like, what is that all about? So are they going to go read it now? You know what I mean? You know?
Yep.
So is that going to backfire? I guess my third thought was, it has to do with like the, my first thought, like, why stir the pot when we have Jesus Christ who like already cleared the kitchen?
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, exactly.
The kitchen's clean. I mean, why are we getting this pot back out? If you're a believer in Christ, you know what the end result is.
Right.
And you know what's right and what's wrong. Is burning books and calling out witchcraft going to bring people to Jesus? Maybe. But I fail to see where Jesus himself did this in the Bible.
Right.
And just like, Jesus, Jesus was stern and he was firm, but he didn't go around just wreaking havoc.
Right.
Correct me if I'm wrong. So I'm like, I don't understand how having these big to-dos full of hoopla and just massive amounts of secularism gonna bring anybody to Jesus.
Right. Right.
I mean, all I can think of is like, and this is going to sound really bad, but I can think it was like back to the course of history of like all these other charismatic leaders that could have crowd control just with the sound of their voice and control the crowd and the energy just by how they spoke. It's a very dangerous person in my book.
Yes. Yes.
And I may ruffle some feathers, but you can go through history. I didn't drop any names, but you can imagine who I'm talking about. And I'm not comparing deeds that these people did, but I'm comparing how they spoke to crowds.
Right.
So
yes,
if anybody listening needs to, I'm clarifying for that. I'm not. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And I totally get that. I actually had that same kind of thought, you know, like, I could totally see. Okay, so I'm just gonna go right out and say it. I could totally see the guy who started the Salem witch trials talking exactly the same way as this guy did when he started this. You know, is the Salem witch trials? I don't know that. Yeah, they may have just taken that big leap right at the beginning, but it may have started just like this, you know, because when you're talking about this kind of stuff, there's no defined line in the sand. And especially because I actually found that he was basing this on a story in the Bible.
Yes, Acts 19. It took me a few minutes to find the actual. It's not even a whole verse that this whole thing is based on. It's the first sentence of a verse.
Right. And it's
which kind of blew my mind.
And it's reversed as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Well, I didn't think about that.
Backwards. Because these in Acts 19, those people voluntarily burnt their book of magic and their occult, their idols, their whatever, after they came to relationship with Jesus.
Correct. You're absolutely right. Because it says right there, they realized what they had done.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, wow, we're totally wrong. Let's get rid of this stuff.
Yes.
So, and it wasn't like there's like, there were probably, you know, a bazillion copies of like the stuff this guy's trying to burn, you know?
Right.
He essentially like bought all the camp wood from Walmart and just tried to burn that. And there's still a whole forest out there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but like back in that day, everything was handwritten. So like you said, it was a product of the situation. They realized what they had done and realized what they had on their hands was completely wrong and evil. So, you know, what else would you do with a book? It's made of paper.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, I guarantee you, that was their first thought, burn it.
Right.
You know, not like, hey, let's go print a million copies, then burn what we have,
mm-hmm.
you know? So you're completely right. We're on the same page. So it's part of me. I would like to put out a disclaimer though, like when I don't know, we're not bashing the guy or
no.
slandering the guy, but we're like, we're trying to think through this.
Yes.
So you make a proper decision. You're free to make your own decision on this, but this, if we're going to go by what he's pulling out of the Bible,
right?
One thing I've learned from reading the Bible, you at least need to read the entire verse, and it helps to read the verse before it and after it.
Yes.
And so on and so forth. So you understand the entire context of the situation. You know, that's like when I go in a room, I see my boys crying, or one of them's crying and one of them's not. It's like, so-and-so hit, you know, Everest hit me. Well, did you do something to make him hit you? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So,
absolutely. It's not.
So, you know, maybe both boys are then about to get a beat down. So <I'm> like, then it just won, or maybe nobody. Maybe it was an accident. You don't know. You need to know the entire story. You can't just take one sentence. You can't take anything out of the Bible context because then you end up with this. You end up with mass hysteria.
Right.
And, you know, I think someone kind of, or maybe even compared himself to like, I think in his book burning monologue from the back of his bus while he's sucking down coffee, that was a little condescending, sorry. But if you listen to what his whole spiel from the back of the bus, it might be just slightly justified. people like compared him to like Jim Jones and stuff, and those are his own words. Those are not my words. So
yeah, and that's dangerous stuff. Now
it's super dangerous. Yeah. But like I said, like if you get someone who can talk like that, and can draw a crowd like that, and can control the crowd just by the sound of his voice and his body language,
mm-hmm.
that's a very dangerous individual.
Yes. Yes. And it, like you said, we're not condemning him for what he did. We're not saying what he did was right, wrong, or indifferent. My big thing is just as Christians, as believers, we are here to spread the gospel. We're here to plant those seeds that will eventually win souls for the kingdom of heaven. What, with that in mind, with the Great Commission in mind, how does that fit into the Great Commission? And I just don't see it.
I don't see it either. Because there's the one instance in the Bible where Jesus lost, I don't want to say he lost his cool, but he corrected the situation.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on here is like, I totally feel it's completely out of context of the Bible, if you will. I mean, so I'm just going to read the verse so people know what we're talking about. Is that all right?
Yeah.
So it comes from Acts 19 because he says it several times, but he never says the. So I picked up on that. As many times as he said Acts 19, he never said the verse.
Right.
So like you pick up on little things like that. Like, all right, he's talking about this, but he's not breaking it down. He's not like, he's just like, he's just throwing lead. You know, he's shooting the herd, not doing any good. So the section of the part of man that like, I don't know, got a sore throat. Acts 19, the section he takes from of Acts 19, it's a 41 verse chapter. So in my Bible, it's in the Bible I have in front of me, it's a New King James. It's titled Miracles Glorify Christ. Now, Paul, little backdrop here, backstory. Paul is in Ephesus, okay? So right after what I'm about to read, there's a riot in Ephesus.
Mm-hmm.
So, but this is pre-riot, if you will. So, where is it? So this is why he's this great Locky Walk has based his whole thing on. Pardon me. Verse 19, the first sentence of verse 19. Also, just that word also, four letters, but it means something prior to that word has happened. So, but we'll get to that in a minute. Also, many of the people, those who had practiced magic, brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. Period. Now, here's the rest of the verse. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So, if they were apparent, my understanding is that, so all the books that they burned, if they were going to sell them to anybody else, they would get up to $50,000 or 50,000 pieces of silver for this information that they had, which was bad, evil information. So, verse 18, which precedes the word also in 19, and many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. So, like you said earlier, they realized. They confessed and realized that their deeds were wrong. So what do they do with a book back then? I mean, just it's pretty arid probably where they lived. I don't know, whatever. You know, you can, like, throw them in the trash or whatever. They just like, well, let's just get rid of them. Let's just easy peasy set it on fire, you know, gone. So pardon me. But that whole little section is about miracles, this one miracle in particular, where it starts in 11, verse 11, where I'm just gonna, so Paul, he's just on fire for God and he's full of the Holy Spirit. So people are bringing handkerchiefs and aprons to like touch his body. Or brought from his body. Anyways, so they're touching Paul and they were going to like heal sick people, you know, right there, you know. And the people were getting healed by this. So there were some Jewish exorcists who decided to take it one more step, take it to the next level. They decided that they would call themselves a. Then the Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves, and I'm quoting the Bible here, to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." And this, so they were trying to. Also there were seven sons of. I can't pronounce the guy's name. Sekva, a Jewish chief priest who did so. So here's a wild part. So they're trying to do these exorcisms. The evil spirit inside the guy they're trying to exorcise says, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? So like they hadn't like accepted Jesus or, you know, and were full of the Holy Spirit. They're just like, hey, we're religious leaders. Paul's doing this. He's a nobody. We're a somebody. So we're just going to name drop.
Right.
Essentially. And the demon's like, nope. And he comes after those guys. And they run them out of town. They run these guys out of town. Like, it's pretty wild. Leapt on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them. So they left out of the house naked, and they were naked and wounded. They got their butts whooped and their clothes taken. So,
yeah. That had to have been a sinking feeling when that demon said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you?
I bet their eyes just went boom.
Yeah, like, oh, we just done screwed up.
Big time. Big time. So, I mean, but back to verse 19. But so there's all these wild things going on. But it's like, yeah. So verse 19, just the first sentence, I think he's completely pulled out of context and just he just stirring the pot. He's right. Like, yeah, we're going to, you know, he's, I just feel like he's like just trying to beat Satan. You can't beat Satan.
Right.
Jesus already beat him. You know, he's wiped the slate clean.
Yeah, it just feels to me like the big difference is that in Acts, the book burning happened because of God moving in big ways.
Exactly.
In the current situation, it seems like they're trying to make God move in big ways by doing a book burning.
Yeah,
it doesn't work that way. That's just what it seems like to me. That it.
No, I think you're right. I didn't think of it like that. Yeah. Because you can't make God do anything.
Right, right. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, Ouija boards are bad juju. Ouija boards are bad stuff. If you have a Ouija board in your house, get rid of it now.
No, please. Please.
But with that said, you can't, just by getting rid of a Ouija board, you can't expect God to move in big ways just because you got rid of the Ouija board. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Usually, I mean, I guess I shouldn't say usually, but generally God is moving in a big way prior to you getting rid of the Ouija board, whether you realize it or not.
That's exactly what you just said is exactly what happened in the first paragraph of this little section. It's these Jewish guys, they're like you just said, getting rid of the Ouija board isn't going to get you anywhere. So it's like these Jewish guys, they're like, they haven't accepted. Obviously, I don't think they've accepted Jesus, but they're like, hey, we're going to just name drop because that's the, I don't know if they just assumed that's what Paul was doing or whatever. So it's like, then they got roughed up. So if you haven't accepted Christ, then you're kind of spinning your wheels.
Right. But, yeah. And I think where they showed their hand, at least where I figured it out anyway, is where they said they, by the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, or whatever that says, right? So they don't directly invoke the name of Jesus. They invoke the name of Jesus that Paul teaches or that Paul preaches about. That to me told me right there that they do not have a relationship with Jesus.
Correct.
Because if you're in a position, regardless of what it is, whether it's, you know, God forbid an exorcism or whatever, if you are in a position that you feel like you need to invoke the name of Jesus and you have to invoke his name through somebody else, it's not going to do you a bit of good.
No.
And if you are a Christian and you have a relationship with Jesus, you can invoke the name of Jesus yourself without having to have, somebody else's name in between there.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. I never thought of that. So I'm glad there's two of us. Absolutely. Like the left half and the right half of a brain.
That's right.
So, no, that's brilliant. Yeah. So, I mean, I think, people are just gonna have to kind of double check what's going on with what's going on with his Craig and his global church there. You know what I'm saying? Because he seems like he's all about stirring the pot and casting out demons and so on and so forth. Which part of that, yeah, okay, but it's like I don't think one should make it their goal to just go around and do that kind of stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like it's like you're legitimately walking around looking for trouble,
Right. Yeah.
and you shouldn't be looking around for trouble. And if you should be ready to help help in the moment of trouble,
Right.
not create trouble, and then try to deliver everybody from it. I mean, what's the point
Yes.
of that? That's a bad deal. That's a
Right.
setup, as far as I'm
Yes.
concerned.
Yes. And, in that first part of what he said, it's time for people to be delivered. Who are you to make that decision?
Yeah, you already
Is,
delivered. You just have to accept the fact, you just have to accept Jesus Christ. And then it's that easy.
Right. And that's not something that he can do or anybody else can do.
No.
I don't care how many books you burn or how many Ouija boards you burn or whatever, it doesn't matter. And I Phil Robertson said it the best, you can't fix them.
No.
You
No.
can't fix them.
No. I really feel the best you can do is like tell somebody about Jesus and help guide them in a direction, but you can't force them. You can't. Because then, yeah, can't force them.
Yeah. And that's where I the execution of this is probably what I'm most in disagreement with. Like to turn it into this great big spectacle and plaster it all over social media and news. I mean, he was on Newsmax, he was on a bunch of different news outlets and stuff. But I think the actual version in Acts, I kind of picture that being kind of a low key people just every all those guys just kind of got together and they started burning their stuff, and they may have had, people that were in the immediate area come down and say, "What are you doing?
Yeah.
Why are you doing that? Like, hey." As he's throwing these books in the fire, they're like, "Hey, those are worth a lot of money. What are you doing that
Yeah.
for?" Well, let me tell you why I'm doing this.
Yeah. Let me tell you about Jesus. So,
Exactly. And I think that is the
totally.
key difference between Acts and what they did, is just the execution of it. What they did itself, I don't necessarily think is wrong or bad or whatever. It's just the
Sure.
execution of it wasn't quite what I would do, I guess.
I know it completely. And like if you listen to his reasoning behind his book burning, all the groups that he mentions BLM and Antifa and gay people and Satanists and everything, and just how and how they show up at his things and they taunt him or however they, you know, they just one, he brings it upon himself. And two, those are the people he needs to be reaching. He doesn't need to be sitting on the in the back of a bus drinking coffee, calling them out and calling them names.
Right.
You know? Because if Jesus was still walking the earth, that's the kind of people he would be hanging out with.
Right.
As weird as that might sound to people, because everybody thinks sometimes Jesus is just like all halos and angels, but like if you do some research and find out what his 12 disciples were about, or the people he hung out with, or the people he healed, those are exactly who he was working with. It says right in the Bible, Jesus didn't come for the healthy people.
Right.
Came for the sick. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's right there. So to be like, hey, we're burning books and we're doing all these big things. We're going to deliver everybody from the devil, which one is a monstrous red flag because there's a guy named Jesus Christ who's already done that. And two, you're trashing all these other groups, these, you know, people that are not Christian or believers. I mean, you're totally having the opposite effect on everything. Those are the people in it. You want to do big stuff, go reach those people and be nice about it.
Absolutely.
It just, the more I think about it, it's kind of, it's, I don't know. I know it's in the Bible, like these kind of people are going to come along and like a bazillion people are going to follow them because they're like, oh, they're so great and they're doing all these good things. I'm like, they're not, okay? They're not. They're dumping hot sauce in the spaghetti. It's not good. Cut it out.
Sauce in the spaghetti. I love it.
I don't know. I'm just thinking like a big pot of pasta cooking on a stove. So it's like, you know, quit stirring the pot. There's no more pots to stir. Just clean the kitchen and put everything away.
That's right.
It's your job to just accept the Jesus Christ.
Yes. And,
you know, portray it to people without violence, without this, that, the other thing. You know, without being like, hey, look at me. You know, I'm going to have a big book burning or we're going to go protest this or that or make fun of other, whatever. And I'm just like, I don't think that's what Jesus would do. You know? And he kept quoting, he kept saying, like, you know, we're supposed to deliver people from the devil and actually, you know, this and I'm like, I don't know. Not like that.
Not like that. No.
Not like that. This is completely wrong how he's doing it.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, I think of the guy in the Bible where like Jesus is in that house and there's such a crowd of people that they like bust a hole in the roof and they lower their buddy down and can't walk. And Jesus is like, hey, you're I'm totally paraphrasing people. was he possessed or was he like, no, I mean, he was crippled,
I think it was paraplegic.
Paraplegic, but like, I think Jesus like, he was paralyzed because it seemed like there were a couple stories in the Bible where guys were paralyzed because of like evil spirit or something. You know?
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I'm not sure if this was one.
I'm not sure if this guy is or not. But anyways, like, I mean, so I mean, Jesus just like, hey, you know, take up your mat and go. And the guy got up, took up his mat, and walked off. You know, so it's like, there was not. I'm sure there was a little bit of hoopla, like, hey, someone's just, like, cut through my roof. You're like, what?
Right.
No, there's plenty of people there to fix it. So, if I was using like, all right, we got to fix this roof. Come on. I'm sure he did that. You can't leave a guy's house with a hole in the roof. So maybe that was the plan, you know? It's like, Jesus had all these people there in this house. They come through the roof. The guy gets up, leaves, totally healed. So Jesus is probably like, hey, all right, I healed that guy, which was great. But like, it would be really great if we could fix this guy's roof since everybody's here. You know?
Right.
Hence the first, I don't know, Baptist work day. The first church work day in the Bible, right? Yeah. I'm going to fix this guy's roof. Oh, that's funny.
That's good. I'm going to remember that.
Yeah, it's going. The first church work day. But yeah, I mean, you got to watch out for these. You got to be real careful with people.
Yes.
There's people of this, that charismatic attitude say, you got to do your discount, double check.
That's right. And this is what you check.
Yeah.
You know, everything, I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's me or Steven or your pastor at church or your Sunday school teacher or whoever. It doesn't matter.
Mm.
You check everything that you hear or that you're listening to, that you're allowing to be poured into you. You check against this. Yep. And if it's against this, get rid of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't have said any better. You got any questions? You're not sure? Whatever. Look it up.
Right.
That's what I had to do with this guy. Because he kept saying Acts 19, but he wouldn't give a verse. He wouldn't give him his reason. You know, he gave his reasons, but he's like, so I sat down and finally found what he was talking about. And I'm like, I just about fell out of my chair because I'm like, I told my wife, I'm like, he's based his whole thing on one sentence out of one verse.
Right.
I mean, you want to talk about pulling, taking things out of context. I mean, at least he could have took the whole section. What I mean.
Right.
It's just in one sentence. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That's pretty brassy.
Yeah. Could you imagine?
And no one's called him out on it, which kills me. Maybe someone has, but like.
No. Who knows? Maybe he'll hear this at some point. And
maybe.
We just did.
Maybe. That'd be great. Yeah. So if, Pastor Greg Lockheed, feel free to give us a call.
Yeah.
Feel free to stop by. That'd be better. I would enjoy that immensely.
Yes, so would I.
Yep. So.
Right.
And not, I wouldn't be rude or anything. It's like, hey, you know, what's going on, man?
Right.
I bet it's, I don't know. There's some people that you meet, you're just like, that's, bad juju. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I know that sounds like a 5-year-old word, but you're like, ooh.
Nope, 100%. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I've never personally met the man or anything. I'm just going by what I have read in the Bible and what he's trying to base everything off of. And
Yep.
What I think is probably equally, if not more important, than actually meeting someone.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of scary, like how fast that snowballs. How fast someone can snowball that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I can just imagine some of the cockamamie schemes I could come up with if I were just to start pulling fragments of verses from.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
Wherever in the Bible I wanted to. Holy cats, I could come up with all kinds of crazy stuff.
Mm. Yep. Yeah. Definitely, yeah. No, I hear you. Fortunately, we will soon have a board of directors to hold us accountable.
Yes.
Which is nice. So, you know, which means, people, if you haven't heard, I don't think I've really told anybody. I mean, obviously, Philip knows. We are about, I don't know, as soon as the mailman delivers our mail to Texas, we'll be a legitimate full-time ministry. The Way Outside / Trumix podcast. So there you go. So I may soon be calling or coming to your state, raising support.
There you go. Yeah. We're coming for you.
We're coming for you. So, no, it'll be great. It's a good thing. So,
yes.
Yeah.
It's been a long time in the making.
Oh, wait. You go from like just being, you know, a rough stock rider to a ranch hand to working for the good Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So, and everything that goes along and in between that, you can use your imagination. So, he's got a good habit of wiping the slate clean for you, though.
Right.
So, yay for that. Anyways, so I'm pumped about that. I know you're pumped about that.
Yes. Yes.
Yep. I just want to cut wood and backpack the rest of my life. That'd be sweet. although I do enjoy a hot shower once in a while. Who was I telling the story to the other day? I'm trying to think. Oh, one of my buddy lives down the road from me. He was, I think it was Monday. He was driving me around trying to get my back fixed. And because I can barely walk. So anyways, I was telling him about, you know, our ritual to go to Red Lodge Pizza every time we come out.
Mm-hmm.
How amazingly wonderful and aromatic we smell. You know, so he just laughed.
Yeah, that's a perfect word for it too. Aromatic.
Aromatic. Yep. Go ahead.
One time they probably smelled us before we got in the building.
Probably. It's August. Those guys are coming. I know it. The wind just shifted. That's funny. So, takeaways tonight. What do you got?
I would say two things. First, don't take things out of context. Oh, the Bible. Context. It's everything. I know my pastor here, he likes to say, what is the therefore there for? So,
oh, yeah.
Any of those kinds of words, therefore, also, you know, all of those kinds of things, mm-hmm. they're telling you, look back, there's something important just happened that is going to tie together with what you're about to read.
Exactly.
And please don't do what this guy did and take a section out of a verse and run with it. Don't do that. That's dangerous. The second thing is, like I said, Phil Robertson said it the best. You can't fix them. It's God's job to fix them. It's God's job to win souls for his kingdom. You're there to plant those seeds and to be a vessel that God uses for anything that he needs for that person to be won back to his kingdom.
Mm.
So if you're going into an event, whatever, with the expectations that you're going to save somebody, you're probably going to be disappointed. Doesn't mean that you won't, because God can use that. But if you're going into it with expectations that you're going to save somebody, you're going to be disappointed.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I would say those are my two biggest takeaways from tonight.
No, I think you're totally right. I'm not sure how to elaborate on that, to be honest. But I can say, you know, I mean, double check everything that people like to use to justify what's going on. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, I mean, this guy just took, like we've been saying all night, he took one sentence of a verse to justify what he's doing. And you can't do that. The Bible, look at this. See how thick that book is? He took like 8 words, okay? And he's built a system on it. Can't do that. You gotta have all the words. Okay. Right. All the words. And to question everything.
Mm-hmm.
If you are like, well, I'm not sure about that, or does that even remotely right or correct? Like this, I mean, if he had like legitimately, if he had just like, instead of just like, hey, Acts 19, he said it like 100 times. If he had, you know, I just felt like he had something to hide. Like if people are just general and they're not specific about certain things, I mean, you're gonna have to do your own research. So you gotta be smart. Use your Bible. Check. Don't be afraid to check people. Don't be afraid to check us.
Right.
You know, it's the only way you're gonna learn. You know, it's the only way you're gonna know what's right and what's wrong. You know, did they burn books in the Bible in Bible time? Obviously they did. It's right there. Should you base an entire ministry on it? No. No. And my second thing, I think, like you said, you can't go looking for a fight. It's not our fight. It's God's fight, and God's already won the fight.
Yes, sir.
So it's our job just to let people know about that in a kind and loving manner. I know that sounds corny and flowery, but it's, when I say kind and loving matter, it is pretty much the opposite of, I feel, of what this guy in Tennessee is doing. That there's no need to go looking for a fight, because all the people he's up against are all the people he should be ministering to.
Yes.
So... that's so, yeah, because to be honest, we all have the same chance of getting into heaven. That's whether or not you just want to accept Jesus Christ and you want to accept all the words in this great book. So that's where I stand.
Yeah, absolutely. We don't battle against flesh and blood.
He used that too, which really chapped me. And it really extra chaps me now that we've broken everything down. Because he's like, yeah, we don't battle against flesh and blood, we battle against principalities, which is true.
Yes.
But there's a way to do it. And the way he's doing it contradicts on how to do it with the Bible.
But see, we don't battle those anymore. Because we are in Christ. Christ has already defeated them.
Mm.
So the people that are still battling that are the ones that we need to show that, look, you don't have to fight that fight anymore, because it's already been won for you.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's like, think, I'm a weapons guy. I know you like weapons. So it's like, think of God/Jesus Christ as like a weapon. Okay. So it's like, we don't battle against flesh and blood or principalities, which is true. But you want to battle against principalities with, you know, you're with the with Jesus Christ. I want to say the Jesus Christ. I'm thinking like, you know, like with a 45.
Yeah,
like,
right.
You know, so you break out to Jesus. You're like, it's not your job physically, personally, or to like go after this,
mm-hmm.
go after these principal, you know, these spiritual things, because that's what these guys did in the beginning, and like through 11 and 16, like they're just like, hey, we're just going to go in a name drop.
Right.
You can't just go in a name drop without accepting the fact. It's like going, it's like, yeah, you've got the gun, but you don't have the magazine or bullets. You're an idiot. So it's like, you're like, oh, so like the, you know, whoever you're holding hostage is going to see that. You're like, you don't even have a magazine in there. You don't got nothing but hot air coming through that barrel. So like, yeah, you're going to get a whooping. So I mean, that's what it boils down to.
Yeah.
You know, you want to battle, like there will be times that you will have to battle, but it's your job to like, whoosh, oh yeah, let's rock and roll. Cause I got Jesus, man. So mm-hmm. you physically can't do that.
Right.
You're not built for it. You're built to have, to be filled with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And then, if something happens, you still physically can't do that. Like, you need to call upon Jesus Christ and just be like, hey, you know, watch out. I'm going to start punching holes here. And they're like, all right, we get it. We understand that. Because he mm-hmm. even says it. Even the demon says it. It's like, hey, we understand. We understand Paul. We understand Jesus. But, like, right now, you got a squirt gun. So I'm coming for you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you need Jesus, and you need to understand how he works, because going around causing mayhem and then thinking you're going to fix that mayhem, that's the other side of the spectrum, and that's right. not a good place to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much all. Yeah, that's what it boils down to. I'm rolling. Yeah, pass the plate. We're getting hunters tonight. I'm kidding, people. that was terrible.
But it was funny, though.
It was funny. So, bottom line is, know where these people are coming from.
Yes.
Yep.
All right, guys. So with all that said, we hope you enjoyed this one. I know we're enjoying doing the more of the kind of current event content type of stuff. And so you can expect more of this kind of thing.
Yeah.
So if there's something going on out there that you think we need to know about, that you think we need to talk about, shoot one of us a message, let us know what's going on, if you find out if we've heard about it yet, and just let us know what you think we should be, what you would like us to talk about, and if, like I said, if there's something going on you think we need to know about, let us know.
Definitely.
So, like I said, if you like this, do all that social media stuff, 5 stars, thumbs up, whatever it looks like.
High fives.
High fives, whatever.
All right, you do that?
I don't even know. I'm sure there probably is an app out there someplace.
The high five app. I'm going to look for that later. Yeah, it's got to be an app.
Right? There's got to be. There's an app for everything.
I know, it's ridiculous.
Anyway, until next time, guys, always remember, we love you.
God loves you.
Peace out.
Peace.